Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
And twice a month we join you to talk about politics here in the Four Corners area. Today is no different. And so we're going to talk today on the show about the Bongathong and also cover public lands in and around Wolf Creek in southeast Utah. Let's start, though, with the Bongathong, which is an event that organizers proposed to in Montezuma County. Would be a festival that would feature marijuana, and its permit has been denied by the county so far.
That's correct. The county actually didn't even have a public hearing about the permit because they said that they did not receive it in time for it to go through the county process, which includes, you know, review by the planning department, review by planning and zoning, and then possibly a public hearing in front of the county commissioners if necessary. And so, you know, P&Z only meets once a month, late in the month. They said this wasn't received in time. For all of that to happen, you know, you have to put notice in the paper and so on about these public hearings. So the county commissioners, I believe it was the week before this week, said, no, we're just rejecting their application for a special use permit because they didn't apply in time. So seemed like that was possibly the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. You don't apply, you don't get to get it. And so why is that not the end?
Well, the organizers said that they were very surprised that the county had rejected it. They said they weren't even notified that they were going to be talking about it that Monday, that they had indeed provided information as requested by the county. They said that they'd been talking with the county planning department since late May, and that since this event is planned for July 31st through August 1st, kind of a, you know, two-day festival, that surely 60 days was enough time to consider a permit application. They believe that the county is unfairly biased against cannabis. And there are people who say that they are proceeding with plans to hold it anyway at the site that proposed, which, you know, many puns intended, is Stoner, Colorado.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope, here with Gail Binkley, who's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and we're talking politics here. Despite what it might sound like on the air today, talking about the Bongathon permit that was denied for a two-day festival at or near Stoner, Colorado, in Montezuma County, denied them the permit. You know, just to take a step back on this, if you apply for a permit, you're having an event in basically 60 days. It occurs to me that it takes a lot of energy to get together an event. Why wait until just 60 days before the event? You know, I mean, for example, Telluride Bluegrass Festival or any festival in Telluride, they're getting their permits from town council 9 months ahead of time, and they're on a regular schedule and they know how to do that. So, you know, what gives here? Was that some of the pushback, I wonder?
Well, as I understand it, the reason that they applied so late was they had been holding this event in Park County, which is, you know, up north where South Park is, Park County, Colorado, for the past 5 years, and thought they were going to be able to hold it there again. But they ran into some flack from Park County. They increased their application fees, made the application process a lot tougher. There's allegations that the county didn't want them there. So anyway, they were looking for a new place.
Okay, so this is an existing festival that is looking for a new home. And why not come to Stoner?
Yes, and they heard about Stoner. Supposedly someone from that area contacted them. And of course, they thought the name was appropriate, as well as the fact that it's in a very beautiful location where people could camp out. It's sort of near the turnoff for the West Fork. And so they were, you know, moving full speed ahead. Their website listed this as the new location, and they were ready to go, and were thinking that they were going to have a permit from the county, but they didn't get it. So last Monday, just, you know, a couple days ago, the county commissioners, during the public comment period, heard from a number of people, many of whom live or own property around the proposed Bongathon site.
Right. This is in the second hearing, or the second
discussion
in front of the county commissioners on Monday. Right.
It certainly wasn't a formal hearing, but a lot of people got up during public comment and said, you know, they're out there, you know, cutting roads, they're preparing, they're still advertising it on their website. We want the county to stop this from happening. We don't think that you're ready. There's not enough, you know, law enforcement prepared and emergency services. And they were concerned about many aspects of this event.
Hmm. And that, how many people? A lot of people, you said, were...
The room was packed, and quite a few people spoke. So a packed room that for them is about 30 people. But still, that's a large number to show up and speak on impromptu, you know, it's not even an actual public hearing. So there were definitely people who were concerned. And they were saying to the county, do something.
Hmm. And so what are the options for the county at this point? Let's say the organizer of the Bongathon say, we're going to do this unpermitted.
The organizer that we spoke to did say that he, you know, is considering moving it, but he didn't say that he absolutely was going to move it. And there's been some discussions on their website where they're talking about it, but they haven't actually said that they weren't going to have it here. So as far as we know, it's still up in the air whether they're going to try to have it, and it sounded like they were proceeding.
Yeah, just to be clear, is this on public land or private land?
It's private land.
It's private land.
It's private land. But, you know, most events are on private land that the county requires a permit for. Mm-hmm. Whether a high impact permit, a special, you know, use permit, which is like for a one-time thing, not an ongoing thing. If there's enough impacts to traffic and other threshold standards, they call them, then yeah, the county requires a permit. You're not allowed to just do any old thing that you want on your private land.
So the options the county has going forward, if they want to stop this, and the organizers who have not said they are going forward, but some think they might. What are the options, and what precedent is there?
The county attorney, John Baxter, said he really thought it was kind of up to the sheriff to enforce existing laws, make sure, you know, if somebody's driving impaired or if there's some great disturbance or whatever, that those laws are enforced. Other people, including the sheriff, asked the county to try to get an injunction, a court injunction against this event, saying, you know, it needs to be shut down, it can't be held, cease and desist, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is precedent for that in this county that I'm aware of one time, and that was in 2006. There was a motorcycle rally proposed at Echo Basin Ranch near Mancos.
Yeah, and the county denied their permit, right?
County denied the permit. They were concerned about many safety issues and so on. And the organizer said, we're going to have it anyway. They were very clear about that, continued advertising it. County went to district court, requested an injunction. There was a day-long hearing with testimony from different witnesses about, you know, what these concerns were and so on and so on. And in the end, the judge did grant the injunction, and the event was shut down. The sheriff had electronic signs out on the highway that said, you know, motorcycle rally is canceled, don't come here. They turned people away. As I understand it, if somebody had actually come a long, long way, they let them camp overnight and go home, so they didn't have to just turn around and drive back. But they shut it down.
Now, is there any indication that had the timing been different, the event would be going off? In other words, had the right? I mean, did you and your colleagues heard some of the debate. If they had done this in February, say, and there had been quote unquote more time for the PNZ and the other entities to look at it, is there any indication that this would have, you know, in our little libertarian paradise, been something that would have been easily permitted?
There's two concerns, and let's just say the school of thought is that probably the commissioners would never approve this anyway. There's a lot of people who believe and have said this, that this county, and not just these commissioners, but previous commissioners, despite their libertarian bent, have a strong, they would call it, prejudice against cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't like it. They don't think it should be legal. And they don't want that kind of thing going on. They've turned down the opportunity to have, you know, sales, recreational facilities, grow operations in the county. And then there's people that think that, aside from that, that they wouldn't have permitted this particular event because it's, if you look at the rules and what's going on, it's actually like a competitive smoking event where people see how fast they can smoke these things and how high they can get. And many people don't think that that's appropriate. They say, you know, it would be akin to giving a permit to a drinking contest where people got as drunk as possible. So that's kind of the two things that are going against this. So I would say that the odds are slim that the county would have ever given it a permit, whether or not they got their application in time.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. We're going to be back after this short break and talk about public land, both in southeast Utah and at Wolf Creek. Stay with us. We're back. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail is the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and we're joining you to talk politics here in the Four Corners area. We're going to head east and talk about Wolf Creek Ski Area. There has been a, Red McCombs has been trying to put together a development there for many, many years and has run into opposition that has varied from just regular community members to environmentalists. And everybody beyond, and is also has a lot of support as well. Right now, what the news is that there's a new lawsuit that has sought to halt the development plans at Wolf Creek.
Yeah, there was a lawsuit filed in the past few weeks, last month, by a coalition of environmental groups, a whole bunch of different ones, including the San Juan Citizens Alliance and the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council. They filed a lawsuit against the Forest Service and the Rio Grande National Forest, basically saying that they should not have given the go-ahead to a land swap that is going to allow, it's going to open the door for this development called the Village at Wolf Creek, which many people have heard about. You may have thought it had gone away. There's many times that people thought it was dead, but it has always come back.
Mm-hmm.
And now it looks like it may be getting a green light. So the lawsuit was filed to try to slow things down, I guess.
What in your reading of it, what is this? And you can pick this up, of course, in the Four Corners Free Press this month. What's your sense of the substance of the lawsuit?
The lawsuit basically says that the Forest Service analysis that allowed this land exchange was too narrow in scope, as I understand it, that they looked only at the land exchange. The purpose of the land exchange is to allow access to this private inholding in the Rio Grande National Forest on Wolf Creek Pass. Red McCombs and his development venture own this inholding, but they don't have good access.
Mm.
And so they need that in order to build the village, obviously. So the Forest Service finally said, yes, we're going to allow this land swap, and it's going to allow access, and we have to, under the law, provide for people to have access to their inholdings. But The environmental group said that there is access of a sort. It may not be as wonderful as the developers want, but there is access. And they said that the Forest Service is not doing its job because it's failing to consider the big picture of the environmental impacts of the development itself, mm-hmm. how that would impact things like habitat for the
development, the links, or the road?
The development.
Uh-huh. And so the environmentalist, if I'm picking up what you're laying down, is the environmentalists are saying the only reason the developer wants the land swap is so that they can build a bigger development on their land. Given the current access, they could not develop the land the way they want to. So if you do the land swap, let's just say create a wider, better access to the land, then it will be developed. And the Forest Service, by law, has got those things decoupled.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And they're saying, you know, this would be a large resort. It's a large luxury resort with, you know, housing and parking for to serve as many as 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about like Mountain Village kind of situation.
It's a big, big thing. You know, very high end, very upscale. So the environmentalists say, you know, this is a watershed. It's a pristine area. There's some wetlands. There's the threatened Canada lynx, et cetera, et cetera. They want all of this taken into account. There's a lot of people who are very opposed to this, but as you pointed out, there are many people who are in favor of it and think it would be, you know, an economic shot in the arm.
Would it tie to the ski area as well?
No. The mm-hmm. ski area folks don't want it. Okay. I think early on they were sort of interested in this until, and this was, you know, quite some time ago, like 20 years ago. But when they realized the scale of it, they became opposed. Their Wolf Creek ski area is fairly low-key as...
And they want to keep it that way.
And they want to keep it that way.
Okay, so this lawsuit, is this being filed in a federal court?
Yes, and it'll be a while before it's probably ever fully decided. So
So we'll just keep our eyes on it?
Yeah.
Is that where we are?
Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
Thanks for that update there. Let's go west and head to southeast Utah, where there seems to be some traction in the idea of creating some more blocks of public land.
Well, as folks probably remember, there's a couple of Utah congressmen that are trying to get a package together to present to Congress, you know, in a big hurry, involving public lands all up and down kind of the eastern side of Utah to forestall the possibility of President Obama declaring a lot of land in a national monument status mm-hmm. over there.
So are they proposing more BLM land? Are they proposing, what are they proposing? What kind of designation are the people proposing for the I guess, is this public land now?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And are mm-hmm. they're proposing
different protections.
They're proposing to protect them, so like a wilderness study area,
yes.
or other things like that.
There's lots of stuff that's been just uh-huh. hanging out there for decades. You know, there's wilderness study areas mm-hmm. that have never been turned into wilderness or turned back into regular public land and things like that. So they went to all the different counties that are involved here and said, why don't each of you talk to your stakeholders and come up with a plan that you want us to put together into this mm-hmm. big blob that we're going to send to Congress. San Juan County is one of the last counties to actually decide what it wants. And they've had a lot of different proposals. I think they have something like they have five or six right now on the table, but they're close to making a decision. And the things would be, you know, part of it would be a national conservation area. There would be certain wilderness. There would be protections for cedar mesa, which, as you know, is kind of the Grand mm-hmm. Gulch area and beyond. They're still coming down to this. There's obviously environmental groups that want to see a lot of land protected fairly strictly. And then there's a lot of Utah citizens who want to see the opportunity for energy development and continued traditional uses such as wood gathering, even, you know, Native American ceremonies and herb gathering and so on. There's a lot of different interests at play here, so it'll be very interesting to see how it comes out.
Okay, and interesting the politics, I think, of watching two congressmen really put their shoulders into it to make this happen before a Democratic president. It's almost like there's a guillotine hanging over. Yeah. Right.
It's an ambitious effort that they're undergoing, but they're working hard.
Okay, we'll keep our eye on that story. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. I'm Jeff Pope.
I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. Stay tuned to KSJD for all your news, entertainment, and information. That wraps it up for Talking Heads today. Thanks.
Thanks.